So this morning, I'd like to share some thoughts on seeing oneself as God sees us. And I don't think we can necessarily entirely do that, but we can catch glimpses of what it is that God sees, and we can stop looking at ourselves in ways that we are not to look at ourselves. We are to, for example, when forgiven, if God puts sin that has been in our past as far as the east is from the west, then we need to be able to see that and accept that as done and history and gone, and not stew over past failings, but to live in the present and live for the future and live well. Let's pause for a word of prayer. Lord, thank you so much for an opportunity to share together here this morning, to sing your praises, to hear your word. I ask, Lord, that you would help us to see in our lives the things that we are to see, to be able to understand that we can't always understand what you're doing, and yet, if it's something that you need to do through us to perfect us or for your purposes, that we would be willing to allow that to take place, and that we would want that to take place for your purposes. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, to begin with, I'd like to turn to the book of Job and take a look at someone that didn't look like he needed any help. If we were just to read the first five verses of Job, I would say, Job is all set, he's better than any of us, and wow. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned, and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Very familiar passage. Something, I've used those verses before, but I'd like to look at a different aspect of that. Here we see a truly remarkable, outstanding character. Someone who was undeniably a quote-unquote good man, a good person. And if we were to read, which let's, in Ezekiel chapter 14, we would see also, we will see some other statement about Job that just indicates how amazing a person this was. I'd like to read verses 12 through 14, and if we were to go on and read down on through the rest of the chapter, we would see what I'm going to bring out here reiterated 2 or 3 more times. The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out mine hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Though these 3 men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. Wow! Wouldn't it be amazing if we were on that list? Wow! What would God be able to say of us? But here, it says, though these 3 men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. And here we know that there's none righteous, no, not one. And yet there was something amazingly outstanding here, that they were spoken of as in some way by their righteousness. These people must have been really abiding in God's righteousness in an amazing way. Found a quote. It says, "A good man will be willing to confess that he is vile when he has any clear views of God. He will be so affected with a sense of the majesty and holiness of his Maker that he will be overwhelmed with a sense of his own unworthiness." There's just a realization, the more that we understand of God and his greatness and how deep all of that is, of how nothing we are, how vile in comparison with the goodness of God. You know, whether our actions are right on almost all the time, we process differently than God. We think things at times that remind us of our humanity. God showed Job how little Job understood. We'll take a look in Job chapter 38, verse 4, and then also some verses in chapter, later on in that chapter and in chapter 40 as well. Job 38, verse 4, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding." How little Job understood here. Verses 34 and 35, "Canst thou send lightnings that they may go and say unto thee, Here we are? Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts? Or who hath..." Yeah, I think I read a verse ahead of myself. But, "Canst thou lift up thy voice to the clouds, that abundance of waters may cover thee? Canst thou send lightnings that they may go and say unto thee, Here we are?" How powerless Job was to be able to affect rain or lightning or any of those things. Chapter 40, verses 1 through 14. "Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, Shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, Gird up thy loins now like a man. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. Wilt thou also disannul my judgment? Wilt thou condemn me, that thou mayest be righteous? Hast thou an arm like God, or canst thou thunder with a voice like him? Deck thyself now with majesty and excellency, and array thyself with glory and beauty. Cast abroad the rage of thy wrath, and behold every one that is proud, and abase him. Look on every one that is proud, and bring him low, and tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together, and bind their faces in secret. Then will I also confess unto thee that thine own right hand can save thee." Job just needed to realize how little he was. And I think that it seems like, in studying these things, that perhaps he was too aware of his, shall we call it, righteousness, but needed to see how almighty God is, and how God didn't even owe Job an answer for the things that God allowed to happen in Job's life. You know, Job, I think, might have agreed with his friend or friends that the things that were afflicting him were the type of things that would typically afflict someone that was in sin. And, you know, God had purpose in whatever he was allowing in Job's life. And Job didn't need to understand. There didn't need to be an answer on man's part for what was going on. In Job 42, in the first six verses, it says, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes." Had Job perhaps harbored pride or self-will or anger, he no longer was harboring those things. He loathed any evil thing in himself and became truly humble before a great God. You know, there was a lot there that we could look at that was amazing and admirable in the life of Job. And yet Job was not God, and Job didn't understand all the things that God was doing in his life. And yet God had a reason. Looking at the life and character of Job, and yet his need to see himself as God saw him and to find repentance in humility, should help us, who are by no means Noah or Daniel or Job, to be seeking for God's cleansing and continued pruning work in our lives. So, looking at and seeing ourselves as God sees us, as I mentioned earlier, the thought that God mentions about putting our sins as far as the east is from the west, we shouldn't be dwelling in shame for our forgiven past. If God can put this away, then we better as well. And our perceived lack of accomplishments or unattainable standards that we may set up for ourselves in life, it's not apt to line up with God's perspective. God has a plan. I'd like to look at a few verses in Jeremiah, starting at the beginning of Jeremiah there, chapter 1, and reading verses 4 through 19. "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak." God already had a vision for Jeremiah. Before he even was formed in the belly, he already knew him. And before he came forth of the womb, he was sanctified and ordained as a prophet unto the nations. God had a plan. "Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, What seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. Then the Lord said unto me, Out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah, and I will utter my judgments against them touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. Now therefore, gird up thy loins, and arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defenced city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Wow! Imagine, the Lord told Jeremiah, I have you defended, and I have a plan for you. Go carry out my plan, and nobody, they might fight against you, but they will not prevail against you. For I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. Oh, we don't always see the whole picture. God sees, and if God asks us to do something, He's got it in hand. And there's, I don't know how many times in life, it seems like we start to do something, it starts to look like it can't work out, it can't be fruitful, it isn't working the way it's supposed to work, and about the time we give up, it works. Why? I think sometimes it's God just showing us, I had this in hand all along. All you needed to do was trust me. And because of the mercy of God, those that are generally trusting often will catch sight of it and be blessed, even though they were, in a sense, giving up just as it was about to happen. God is very gracious. Matthew 10, 28 through 31. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. God has the whole picture. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We often tend to have concerns when following what we understand God to have directed us to do in our lives. But if we're following his guidance, he has the things in hand. If we perish, we perish. This physical life, it's okay. So if God has a plan and he asks us to go in a direction, our life shouldn't stand in the way. We should be obedient. We should see that there's a greater picture. Had to think about a chess game. I'm sure many of you play chess or have played chess. And the only piece that is definitely not expendable in the game is your king. And without the king, the game is over. But there are other pieces that can be used at times, positioned, that may be taken, and there's a greater strategy there. And there will be a sacrifice that's there in order to accomplish the end. Are we willing to be used as God sees fit, or are we determined that we will remain standing to the end, even if it costs the kingdom? Are we so concerned about where we are and who we are on the board that we must get to the other end as a pawn and become a queen or whatever it is, when God has everything in hand? And you know, there are martyrs, and it's not God letting his people down when it happens. There are people that must die for truth. So when we see as God sees, all we need to see, we need to believe and trust him and then walk and obey, and realize He's got it in hand. Just because Job had all of the things happen that if you've studied Job, you know happened to Job, didn't make Job a bad man. Job, sure, he had lessons to learn as well, but Job was one of the most upright people in this world, and yet God needed to accomplish something that involved suffering in his life. Let us allow God to call all the moves in our lives, whether we see everything he sees in us or not. If we humble ourselves and we yield our lives to him, to his plan, God will see us as useful, as usable, and we will experience his peace in our lives. Then someday, we shall see as we are seen, or we shall know as we are known. May God bless. Those are the thoughts I had to share with you this morning.
Maybe we can stand and sing 982. Just a second.